When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome in. President's Day. We appreciate all of you for making time. You could be trying to remember who the presidents are. Anyway, great to have you on board on this Monday. And we have a lot to do, so let's cut out the jokes and get right to it. Some headlines to share with you. And I was watching this game yesterday, and Ole Miss had a shot at the buzzer, went into overtime, and we all know what happened then. The Gamecocks survive, and Don Staley's team remains number one in the country, to the surprise of no one. The end of an era, could it be? We'll talk about this later with Mike Rodak, who wrote the article, how 23 could be the end of an era for Alabama. We're not talking about the end of Nick Saban. We're talking about the divisional play and all that. Could there be some changes? I hear Bob Dylan humming in the background. The change is going to come. And how about making games shorter? Does that make any sense? Actually makes too much sense. Lane Kiffin in the news. We know he's the portal king. Isn't he always the portal king? Isn't this like an evergreen headline? But what does he do with the portal is the question. We'll talk to the man who wrote that article later on. Pac-12 is alive and well, but for how long? Huge article today in ESPN by Pete Thamel about what the future looks like for that league and George Kliavkoff. And we say hello to Pete. On this President's Day, thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. Quite an article about a lot of different things. But let's begin with the Pac-12 and their survival strategy as we speak. Tell us what you know.
Well, Paul, I don't think it's an overstatement to say that the television numbers that come to the Pac-12 in the upcoming days or weeks in a very short period of time are paramount to the future of the league in the league's, you know, very, very existence. Now, look, television contracts keep college leagues alive. They keep college sports alive. They keep college sports networks alive, right? So the Pac-12, in the wake of losing USC and UCLA, has found itself at a crossroads. With the Big 12 jumping to market and get a deal done, there is less interest generally in the Pac-12 than there might have been if they were still ahead in the chronological pecking order ahead of the Big 12. So when you look ahead now, the questions being asked around the industry are, who are the suitors who are going to pay the Pac-12 market value, and can they pay them enough to keep the league together, to keep the bell cows, Oregon and Washington, to sign a grant of rights, and to keep the league in its 10-team existence, perhaps with expansion after, moving forward? Or Do the numbers come in, paint a bleak picture for the future of the league, and then we have some sort of Armageddon scenario that happens? Again, there is a chance, and there's a good chance, that the Pac-12 finds some kind of bandaged solution to come back from the ruling of Larry Scott with all those disastrous decisions, and then to come back from the loss of USC and UCLA. And we're really going to learn how it does that, how it can do that, and if it's going to work in the upcoming weeks.
Pete, you mentioned Amazon in your piece. Amazon, no longer a book chain. Thinking about the owner of Amazon, considering buying the Commanders, they also have the Thursday night package in the NFL. So, I mean, this is a major entity, but where do you think that is? And is that, whether it's the best solution or not, is that a solution that would make them more viable?
Oh, certainly. I mean, the one thing Amazon does bring, Paul, is it brings plenty of money. Even with the recent downturn in tech and the recent downturn in media stocks, quite frankly, Amazon is an attractive option for the fact that it is robust. It has a longer, broader runway. Look what Amazon did for the Washington Post, right? It has a longer, broader runway for the future for a league like the Pac-12. The The interesting tension here, I guess there's two things, Paul. One is Amazon, for have never broadcast a college game of significance. I don't even think a college game, but I certainly don't know. They could have put a water polo match on at some point, and I've missed it. Has a really outsized say in what could happen next in college sports. It's pretty bizarre that the future of a century-old league is relying on a rookie in the college sports space in a lot of ways to help determine the market. And I really think that, you know, Amazon also brings some nerves for some schools, because if you have too much of what you're doing on streaming, that may be a turnoff. The Big 12 package is obviously more conventional. It's Fox and ESPN. People can find it. People are conditioned to go watch on those channels. So obviously that whole landscape is changing with television, Paul. So Amazon is a factor here. They're an outsized factor, and they will be an indelible factor in the future of college athletics.
Pete, not to turn you into a media tech analyst, but why not? We all know how to find streaming services. I don't mean everyone, because some people are more apt than we are, but we certainly, on whether we're watching a movie or streaming a TV show on Amazon or Netflix or any it's easy to find. But what do we know about television, sports television? Because that's the kind of thing you slip on, you don't think about it, and it's a little bit different when you're on a streaming service.
It is, Paul. I don't think there's any question about that. From a casual viewer consumption standpoint, if you have appointment TV, NFL Thursday Night Football is appointment TV. If you're an NFL fan, if you're a fantasy football player, you are going to watch the Thursday night game. The challenge here and the interesting thing will be there are a lot of casual college football fans, and on a Saturday they have the Notre Dame USC game on, but it's a blowout, so they flip to this game, or they see on social media that this game's getting close, or they bet on this game. I use the ESPN app, Paul. I have four games on at once a lot of times, and then others on my other computer. So it will be an interesting test to see, you know, how college sports viewers change and alter. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Duke UNC going on ESPN2 and the world going bonkers. How could they put that prime product on ESPN2? Then there was the test of the Big Ten Network. You had every blue hair in Zanesville calling the Ohio State Athletic Department because they couldn't watch the Ohio State Youngstown game, right? Like, viewer habits change and they evolve. From a standpoint of where the Pac-12 is right now, Paul, I think the most interesting thing is Amazon and streaming services want quality. They don't want quantity. A metaphorical Utah-Washington State basketball game on a Wednesday night isn't going to drive subs. Ultimately, Amazon wants you to watch a football game, so you order your toilet paper from there, right? Or you order your copy of Catcher in the Rye. you use your Whole Foods. It's a gateway there. And so they don't want tonnage. What they want are really good games. So I really feel like, Paul, there's a strong market for the Pac-12's Tier 1 rights. Obviously, it's been well reported by myself and others that ESPN has interest in the late night window. There are only so many leagues and so many schools that can play at 10 o'clock, that can play at 10:30. Now, those aren't usually the top tier games, but those are close to it. So there are some really attractive parts of this Pac-12 package that transcend their games of the week and their late night options. I think some of the vagaries around how this is going to come together and how much it will be worth go with the quantity portion of it.
I'll move from the Holden Caulfield conversation to the SEC and the ACC. Let's start with the SEC, because I think most people watching know this league is in good shape, but all the moves that are occurring, does it really matter? Does it mean very much to the SEC right now, considering how everything seems to be aligned?
I think that if you're Greg Sankey, and the same with the commissioner to be named later in the Big Ten in suburban Chicago there, I think the best analogy is this, Paul. Like, they each have their periscope up, and they're peering over the Great Wall, somewhere probably in southern Indiana, at each other, right? and they're constantly wondering what the other is doing, and they're constantly being strategic about, can this happen, can that happen? You know, whether there is something imminent for the SEC to do hinges completely on the grant of rights in the ACC, which the article I wrote today gets into. That is a legal thicket that neither you or I in our degrees are probably, you know, adept to handle in full in terms of just the legalities there. But I think for the SEC and the SEC's future, the best rule of thumb that I've come across in covering a couple rounds of SEC realignment is that they want contiguous states, right? They, you know, in theory, don't want to add Oregon and Washington. They have leaned in and successfully to the it means more, the rivalry, the cubicle, the guy at the insurance company. One went to Oklahoma, one went to Texas, one went to Mississippi State, one went to Ole Miss. That has done the SEC well in keeping things alive. So I would think that the contiguous state schools that are available are bound by the grant of rights. There also is one that's an independent in South Bend, Indiana, that I think everyone has their eye on.
And you mentioned the ACC. An ACC coach in basketball complained that the ACC network wasn't doing enough to help its league, blaming the network for some of the ACC woes. Forgetting that for a moment, what does the future of
the ACC? Who is that, Paul?
I've lost his name, but it seems like it rhymes with Bell. What's the future look like for this league, and what is their biggest concerns?
Well, it's the ACC's television contract through 2036 is, or I wouldn't call them golden handcuffs. They're probably bronze handcuffs at this point. They're both uniting and dividing the league, and we've dove into this a couple different times in columns on ESPN. And right now, for about half of the ACC, it's a pretty good deal. You know, they're getting reasonable money. But there's also the football invested portion of the ACC feels like, you know, there's a continuing and rising feeling that they're falling behind. And once things are crystallized in 24 and the Florida State, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina segment is making $30, $35 million less than the Big Ten and the SEC, once you start compounding that year over year, it's only going to amplify that, you know, that financial division that comes with that. So, I had a source tell me basically that in 6 months, Paul, I don't really think there's going to be anything that happens with the ACC with anything challenging the grant of rights. In 6 years, I have a hard time thinking that the source told me that they have a hard time thinking that the ACC looks the same. And it's just going to be a matter of the lawyers trying to untangle it. And as we know, Paul, the lawyers are undefeated in college athletics.
And getting richer. Pete Thamel, always great, fantastic story, Pete. Really appreciate you dropping in. Always good to talk to Pete. As we move toward the call-in segment of the show, you can give us a ring now, and I mean right this moment, at 855-242-7285. Scott, thanks for dropping by on this holiday. And Dale Brown will be with us at the bottom of the hour, half hour. Rodak, as I mentioned, Matt Hayes later on Lane Kiffin, the Portal King, and we are back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here on a Monday, and John is up first from the call from Washington. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
First of all, just wanted to say how much I love your show. You do a really fantastic job covering college sports better than anyone, and we just don't have anything like that out here in Washington.
Thank you very much.
State, Pac-12 country. If I could, too, just give a quick shout-out to my favorite regular caller to your program, John from Louisville. Just love his insights and the way he moves his calls along efficiently to cover multiple topics. So on to Pete Thamel's article. You know, as a lifelong Washington Husky fan, I just don't see how Washington and Oregon stay in the Pac-12 at this point. I thought Pete did a really fantastic job pointing out that this will be an ongoing issue, even if in the short term they get a TV deal that maybe keeps them in for 3 to 5 years. I wondered what your take was on that, and then also wondered what your take was on this. I found it interesting that he seemed to see a small opening for something maybe to happen in the near term when Kevin Warren leaves the Big Ten in April in regards to potentially poaching Washington and Oregon, and wondered what your thoughts were on that as well as a possibility.
Yeah, John, I think it's possible, and quite frankly, I think Oregon and Washington would be wise to get out of the Pac-12. I don't like the direction of the leadership. I think they're going to get a media rights deal, but it's not going to be the kind you want when you compare it to where the Big Ten's media rights deal is phenomenal right now. It's so multi-layered with three networks, all major networks, nothing wrong with streaming services. They're essential and they're popular, but it's not where you want to put your first line of defense wants to be right now. When CBS, ABC, ESPN, Fox, and NBC are all aligned with the SEC and with the Big Ten. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. John already getting a shout out today by another caller. Hello, John.
I'm humbled, and I agree, except I think Washington and Oregon have already, asked to be invited, but Fox said they're not worth a full share, so if they take a half a share, which they should, it'll be much more than what they can get on any kind of a Pac-12 deal, media deal. By the way, I am old enough to remember Catcher in the Rye, and although I went to parochial school for 12 years, I did want to be a little like Holden Caulfield, didn't you?
I
that rebellious nature, talking about.
At that age, it was easy to relate to him.
Yeah. Hey, I think Legend hit a home run this weekend. Alabama made the number one spot for both the AP and coaches poll and the number one seed on the Bractology. And finally, they devoured Georgia. So I expect him to be shot out of a cannon today, don't you?
And let's also congratulate Rick Barnes from Tennessee for allowing John Calipari to punch his NCAA ticket.
Oh, he's puffing his chest out right now, but he's still not in the top 25, and he still hasn't played St. Peter. So, hey, Paul, did you watch the Daytona 500?
I caught the very end of it.
Which is always the best. Have you ever been to it?
Yes, I have covered the Daytona 500.
Okay, it is just such a great rite of spring. I just love it. I was down there again this year, and the Thunderbirds put on a mini air show. They just didn't do the flyover, and of course you have the shootout at the end, which makes it exciting. But if you've got a bucket list and you haven't been there, definitely do it. So I know you're going to have a guest on later about the scheduling for the SEC and Big Ten. But I was thinking about the Big Ten. Ohio State just canceled its home and away with Washington. And it would seem that part of that reason is next year they're going to have an extra Big Ten game. So in the SEC, am I assuming that they'll have one less game, maybe one less cupcake game next year?
It depends. You know, there's still this conversation about the nine-game schedule, which I think they'll go to. It's really the only way to make the new pod system work. So yeah, we will. Everybody will have those only three games to deal with, and usually most SEC schools, John, play a credible game somewhere among those non-conference, and then it's really a matter of opinion on what you do with the rest.
Well, looking over at the Big Ten, though, Paul, you know, they have that D game at the end of the season between Ohio State and Michigan, and they're not going to change that, obviously, but what do they do if they get rid of the divisions and the top two teams play? Do you see Ohio State and Michigan playing two weeks in a row?
I mean, we've seen that a couple of times. I mean, and by the way, the SEC is going to head down the same road. So, you know, of those final weekend games, you have Ohio State, you have Alabama, Auburn, you have LSU, Texas A&M. I don't think right out of the chute we'll see a repeat there, but it will happen. And that's just I'd rather have that game repeated as opposed to just a bad game and like we did this year in the Big Ten championship game. Jim is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Jim.
I want to say this, Paul, because I guess I'm a little bit still attention-seeking, especially when you're under the weather a little bit. I've been a little bit under the weather with some things I don't want to get into. It's nothing really that – it could have been serious, but it's nothing – no disease or anything, but it's just a problem I've had with certain part of my body, and I don't even want to get into that. But here's what I'm saying. I had to go the first time in a long time because I've stayed away from hospital trusting God to help me, and he's done it all my life, I promise you. And that's a testimony to the power and goodness of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you. But anyway – so I had to go this time. The doctor scared me. Another Med-South doctor scared me. And I hope I was all right to say that, but I didn't tell you who he was. And anyway, he said, you got to go. So I said, man, I hate – he said, you got to go. You need an IV. Well, what you got with the problem with that? So I went and got the IV, and I thought – thank goodness I didn't have to stay in there, you know, but about 5 hours, I thought I might have to stay in there for a week. I was just scared. They did every kind of test you can give them, everything. I passed them. Heart strong as a mule, they said, just like when you play ball when you were 18. I'm talking to that doctor. I wish I could tell you their names, but I can't. You know that. But these are world-class doctors. These two guys are phenomenal guys. One of them's 42, and the other one's 47, and they're top of the line on what they do. Your wife probably knows who they are, heard of them. But anyway, so I'm sitting in the bed. I'm feeling better with this one doctor walking. I liked his. He had a little bit of a gait about him. I can see he looks like an athlete. He was a golfer. He's played some ball. And he didn't know me from Adam. And I just said, he didn't know, you know. Anyway, so he doesn't see anything except what he's looking at me. So we talk in a minute. And after a few seconds, he says, Jim. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, the guy knew me just from my voice. You know, I've told you that's happened many times before. And then we got into your show and all of it. He said, man, I've loved you. We've loved you on the show. And my daddy used to listen to it and still does. And I've listened to it. Anyway, I could go on and on about that. So then I had to go to another doctor after that doctor. And I go to this other doctor. He's a real specialist. And I wish I could tell you his name, but I can't. But anyway, he said the same thing. You're Jim. And I didn't tell him a word. He didn't know. He had not seen my name or nothing. And that's kind of it just made me feel good. And then he went on and on about things that I know about athletics and people I've known, and he wanted to hear about all that, which I told him. So it was fun. That was fun.
Well, Jim, a couple of quick things here. Number one, I'm glad that whatever you're going through is not as serious.
Well, I asked for prayer just like Augie asked for prayer for anybody that is got a godly heart that wants to pray.
And I say this also, Jim. Listen, I understand we've had our differences, but I do think maybe there's some purpose to all this that we're doing here. I do too. Well, listen, we will all think of you and as you get through all this and hope that you're back to normal very quickly.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And God bless you for saying that.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you. Jim, very very interesting call there, and one we'll talk about in a minute. But first, we have to head to the break. Dale Brown, the legendary Hall of Fame coach from LSU, will join us next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. If you watched last Monday night, you saw the beginning of Dale Brown's career at LSU. Tonight at 9 on Southern Hoops, you'll see Dale take his LSU Tigers to a couple of Final Fours. No big deal. As we welcome all of you back to the program, and this was before Shaq showed up. Dale Brown joining us. I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to have him on our program on this Monday. Coach, good afternoon to you, and thanks so much for being here.
Paul Aloysius, Sebastian Feinbaum, it's my pleasure, and I think it shows you have no ego. You don't use your other two names. Why is that?
Well, I learned that from you at a very early age, to put the cause in front of the ego. Coach, first of all, we haven't talked to you in a while. You sound great. I hope you are.
You cut out on me, Paul. I didn't hear what you said.
I just said I hope all is well, because you sound really good. I can't see you, but sound great.
Well, I have no complaints. I'm blessed in a lot of ways. 87, and my dear mentor was 99, and he was active right up until the time he died. So I know I won't outlive Methuselah, but I'd like to at least get his 99. Well, tied John Wooden. Nobody can beat him, so maybe somebody can tie him.
That is remarkable. Well, Coach, first of all, I know when you sat for this documentary, as you've done, you obviously played a huge role in the Dale and Shaquille documentary as well. You've gone over this period. I remember it so vividly. The 70s were wild. The 80s were incredible. I realize we're talking about a huge piece of time. But you emerged and your program was alive and kicking and really silencing a lot of people around college basketball. What do you remember about this time?
I remember the following. When I got this job at LSU, they had 14 out of 18 losing seasons prior to that. And all my friends told me, you're crazy to go there. It's a football country. You're never going to turn it around. So when I came to Baton Rouge and was fortunate enough to be the head coach, I had two goals set. Number one, I wanted to turn LSU into a basketball power and do it the right way, not undercover. Number two, I wanted to make the lives of the young men I coached better. And by being better meant degree. I learned this from my mother, the fact that she only had an eighth grade education, and how much she stressed to me, you've got to do it, because she didn't want me to wind up like her on welfare, a maid and babysat for 50 cents an hour, $42.50 a month. So education was important for me to get that. And obviously, had I not gotten, I wouldn't have been the coach. But the most thing I remember is when I got interviewed here, it isn't like it is now, Paul. They pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for these screening committees and tell them what to do. There were three men, one a banker, one an oil man, and one a teacher at LSU that sat in the committee in the athletic director's office. And the one man asked me the question. He said, Dale Brown, why should we hire you? He said, you know, you've are you any different than anybody else? He said, we haven't had any luck here, so why should we hire you? And I said, sir, I'm not sure you should hire me because of the fact that no one's asked my philosophy. So let me tell you what it is. If you hire me, I can tell you this. I'm going to recruit human beings first and basketball players second. Now, that might mean you may have an all-white team, you may have an all-black team, you may have an all-foreign team, you may have a combination of all three. Well, thinking that possibly there would be some disagreement to that because of the fact that LSU had not integrated properly, only one black basketball player in the history of the game. So I left there thinking, well, I said what my mother told me to do. Always speak from your heart instead of your head. Well, my wife said, call me after the interview because I'd just been offered the Washington State job several days prior to coming to LSU, and I told them, wait till I come to LSU and check it. So my wife told me, be sure you call. Well, there were no cell phones at that time. I forgot. I was going to the state tournament in Alexandria, Louisiana. And I saw a sign that said, Bunky. I pulled over, went into a drugstore, a nickel, I remember, in the phone booth, and called my wife and told her what I did. And her reply was, Dale, a Japanese kamikaze pilot will have a better chance of getting the job than you. You'll never get it. A week later, they flew my wife down, and because of a dynamic, wonderful, two of the most pathologically honest people I've ever met in my life are John Wooden and Carl Maddox. I got the job. And nobody ever put any kind of pressure on me to do anything different than I said I was going to do. So that says a lot about a place that had a lot of racial problems.
We're chatting with Dale Brown. I mentioned the Final Four's coach, but I also know so many of your stands and so many things that you did. And I know how proud you are of this success, but I also know how, based on what you said a minute ago and having known you most of my adult life, if not all of it, you did so many other things. If you had to look back on your entire tenure there, once you got the job, what would be the one thing that you were most proud of?
I think nobody's ever asked me that. And as you well know, it's hard for me to say hello in less than 5 minutes, so I'm going to try to make this brief. I think the thing that I was the most proud of was the fact that I really did have a strong belief. As I was a high school coach, I was a junior high school coach, I was a no-name guy, etc. The fact that I made up my mind, the French call it idée fixée, whatever you fix in your mind and make it happen, it'll happen. I thought, I know, even though the NCAA is a dysfunctional organization, and the letters NCAA are supposed to stand for National Collegiate Athletic Association, and they're not. What they really stood for years was not caring about athletes. But I thought, no matter what happens, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm not going to get in the gutter. I'm not going to cheat to get people. And I'm going to do my best to be just me. And sometimes that was too clumsy. Sometimes my mother only had an eighth grade education. And maybe she told me that, you know, if you spend too much time polishing your image, son, you're eventually going to tarnish your character and be an unhappy man. Now, if she'd had a ninth grade education, she'd have told me maybe sometimes silence is the best. But thanks to Carl Maddox, who gave me the break, and then Joe Dean, who couldn't have been better to me, he gave my name to Carl Maddox. I really wanted to do good to let people know. They'd ask for my references when I was applying at places. And I'd say, is the school janitor okay? I didn't have any references. I didn't know any sports figures. And so LSU gave me the chance, and I had numerous chances to move, but I didn't because I love the people of Louisiana. I don't particularly, I could regurgitate against some of the political things, but people-wise, I've been in 90 countries in the world, and I don't think you're going to find more friendly people than in Louisiana.
Coach, you mentioned some of your stands, and they are legendary, and I know some of them are going to be recalled in this documentary. But you always stood up for the player, and you took a great risk in doing so against the NCAA. And a lot of people now, it's cliche to criticize the NCAA, but you did it when there was great risk. I understand why you did it, but what was that experience like, telling the world how you mentioned dysfunctional. You offered far more critical phrases than that when you went public with your stand against them.
I don't mean to embellish or belittle this, but I was 10 years old, and I came home from soup, my little school that I was going to. I didn't have money for any of the hot lunch program. I came home for a hot bowl of soup. The school was only a couple blocks from me. And my mother, there was a welfare worker there. And my poor mama, we lived in a one-room apartment of a bar and a hardware store. Didn't have a bathroom, toilet, shower. I'd never slept in a bed for 21 years. She had a bed that pulled out from the wall. But this welfare worker was intimidating my mother and making her cry, saying, "Well, what did you do? You spent so much money last month on Digitalis." I didn't know what it was. It's a heart medicine. "Go get your purse." And my mother started to cry. And it really made me feel bad. And I sat there as a young kid watching her intimidate and treat my mother like dirt. And as a young 10-year-old, I thought, I'm not going to stand for that. Well, a matter of, and this epistle is going to end here in about 20 seconds. Several weeks later, I came home from school, and my mother was all nervous. "Son," she said, "the landlady came down here. And she said, you're scuffing up the linoleum in the hallway." Now, you're too young to probably remember what linoleum is, but I used to fold up my mittens and tape them and shoot in the hot water pipes in the hall. And she said, "The landlady came down here, that brat of yours," she said, "he scuffs that linoleum up anymore." She said, "you're going to have to be kicked out of here and find another place. And Dale, what are we going to do?" She said, I took off down the hall. I knocked on her door, 4 security block. I remember the number. She opened the door, and I said, "You leave my mother alone. Don't you ever treat her like that." Then I walked down the hall, scuffing up the linoleum as badly as I could with my feet. So I think you can take a negative and make a positive out of it. And as far as anything that I did humanitarian-wise, I learned from a banker. I wanted to go get a master's degree, and I didn't have any money, and I wanted to go to Oregon. They had the best program that I was looking for. And when I say literally no money, and I went to the bank to get a loan, well, this guy's giving me all kinds of questions, you know, "what's your dad do?" I lied. I said he's deceased. "What's your mother do?" I didn't want to say she was a maid. I lied. I said she's retired. He said, "what kind of collateral do you have?" Now, this may shock you, but I didn't even know what the heck collateral was. And I said, "well, what do you mean exactly?" "Well, do you own any land? Do you own this? Do you own that?" So he stamped it with a big red stamp, reject. I went outside. I kind of was tearful, but I was mad. All of a sudden, I heard Dale Brown, and I turned around, and here's a banker that worked there. He said, "I heard what that idiot said." He said, "how much do you need?" And I told him. And at that time, it was considered a large sum of money. "Come on back in the bank." I went back in the bank, and he wrote a check out for it and handed it to me. And his name was Jim Norton. I said, "Mr. Norton, I can't take this check." I said, "I'll never be." He said, "listen, if you're ever in a position to help people," he said, "just remember today." And as a result, Paul, this epistle is now going to end. That stimulated me to try to reach out to help people.
Incredible story. I hate to have to leave it there, but Coach, we will talk to you again very soon, and Coach Brown will be obviously featured prominently tonight on Southern Hoops at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We take a short break. It's hard to do anything after that conversation. It was so meaningful, but we will, I mean, we must, and we are coming right back with much, much more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wrapping up the first hour, we'll go back to the calls, and Will is in North Carolina. Hey, Will.
Hey, Paul. I just seen your interview with Pete, and I'm not sure if you've seen this or whatever, but I'm a big baseball fan, and within like the last week or two, Bally Sports has went bankrupt or whatever, and like MLB has said that they retain the right to come in and still show, take over and show the games on TV or whatever. But I mean, with all this like cord cutting, and I even believe the NFL has went to like YouTube on Sunday Ticket.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.